Yeah, totally. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf mem aleph. We begin on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We are starting with a Mishnah. A Mishnah that we're already familiar with. We already saw this idea recorded earlier in the Masechta. The Mishnah now is going to review this idea with us. And that is that if there are a number of surviving brothers, a brother died and left a widow, and now there's a mitzvah of Yibum, there's no children, so mitzvah begadol. So who do you turn to? You turn to the oldest, and you say to the oldest of the surviving brothers, you're the one who is primarily responsible to do the mitzvah of Yibum. If he is unavailable, so then we'll look to the others to do so. If you remember, you recall, this discussion already occurred once before in Daf Chav Dalet. So in Daf Yomi terminology, that is now 2 weeks ago. So back then we discussed how it's based on not the simple pshat in the Torah, but rather a deviation from the simple pshat. The Torah says Vaya im habachor, and the firstborn that they're going to have afterwards. So the Torah describes that what's going to happen with that firstborn is that he's going to take on the name of his brother. But if you remember, the Gemara says Vaya b'chor mikan shemitzvah begadol yabim. That's the Gemara all the way back in Chav Dalet, that the b'chor is not a reference to the child that's going to be born, but the b'chor is rather a reference to the brother, to the surviving brother, and therefore it's primarily with the responsibility of the oldest to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So why are we reviewing this idea? We already saw this before, so stay tuned as the Mishnah is about to discuss mitzvah begadol yabim. So first the mitzvah is for the oldest to do Yibum. So now if he refuses, he says, no, I'm not interested. So now we turn to the other brothers. Lo ratzu. So let's say one by one you get rejection after rejection after rejection. Chozen etzel gadol.
Do you go in order or not necessarily after
the... I don't know. After the gadol, is there any then sequence, priority? It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Etzel gadol. So chozen etzel gadol. So you go back to the gadol. Ba'omrim lo alecha mitzvah. So we say to the gadol, look, now, I understand that any one of the brothers could have done the mitzvah of Yibum, but again, you have the primary responsibility, therefore, it's up to you now. O chalos or yabim, your choices right now are to do chalitz or Yibum. You'll notice the order of the Mishnah. The order of the Mishnah is very specific in that we're telling him right now, do chalitz or Yibum. Now, without giving away too much of the Gemara, which hopefully we're going to get to, it could very well be just a simple pshat in the Mishnah, is that at this point in time, you pretty much know what he wants to do. Like it's it's not going to be revelatory for him to say I want to do chalitza. I mean, he already said no. Then we went to all the other brothers. We went back to him. So it's like kind of like we're guessing. You know, it's educated guess that he's going to say no, and that's why you put chalitza in front of Yibum. But stay tuned because the Gemara later on will pick up on the fact that first thing we present him to was chalitza, and only afterwards did we present Yibum. So let's say the following is suggested. Look, I'm not interested, says one of the older brothers. But there's a younger brother, and he may say yes. Just right now, he's too young. So why don't we wait a little bit until he grows up and let's see. Or, the Mishnah gives another example. Or let's say, look, there is another brother, but he's overseas right now. He'll be back a week, a month, a year, I don't know. But he's going to come back, I know it. And then let him do Yibam at that point in time. Or let's say there's a brother who's a Cherish Oshote, and with an optimistic prognosis, that right now he's insane. But I'm telling you, I feel good. I feel good that, we're going to, different. I'm not going to try to make light of this, but, you know, the meds are doing better, and he's doing good. So we think he's going to do good. So ain shomer lo, in any one of these scenarios, any one of these attempts to delay, because let's wait and see. So the Mishnah says, let's not wait and see. Ela omrim lo alecha mitzvah cholos yabim. The Mishnah says, nope, the time is now, the opportunity is now, and we turn to the brother who's currently here in the moment, and we say to him, you got to do something. Either you got to do chalitza or you got to do yibum. And even all the forecasting of what's going to happen in the future is not worthwhile. The Mishnah says we do not do that. We go to him directly. Mm-hmm. Even for the katan, we're not going to wait. Now, because again, the katan, because there's a gadol right now who's available. If the katan's the only one available, so then we have to wait. But right now we're talking about someone who is available, but he wants to defer based on something that hopefully will happen. So the Gemara says, we don't hope. We act. Okay. Berchatan Mechum Shakom Bebel. We start with the Gemara Mar Lama Testament Aleph. It might be as Katan Mechalitza's Gadol. Let's say your choices are as follows. The Bia of a Katan or the Chalitza of a Gadol. What are our two options over here? So Rashi tells us that we are not talking about an actual Katan. We're just simply saying it goes like this. There are two brothers. One's the oldest surviving brother, who we said has the primary responsibility of the mitzvah of Yibam. Right now, he's interested in doing chalitza. Then there's a younger brother. He's not a child. He's not a katan. I know the Gemara uses the terminology of katan over here, but not to be taken literally. I'm just saying over Rashi. I'm not saying anything that dynamic. But he's a younger child. He's the younger of the brothers. And he's ready to do Yibam. And so the question on the table is as follows. It's a good one. Do we turn to the oldest brother who has the primary responsibility and he's ready to do the mitzvah of chalitza, which is obviously secondary. It's not the best way to do it. Or do we turn to a younger brother who's ready to do the mitzvah of Yibum? And so which one has more value to it? An older brother doing chalitza or a younger brother doing Yibum? Gemara addresses this question. Pliga bar Rav Yochanan Rav Yoshua ben Levi, probably would have guessed. Open for debate. It is debated between the Amoraim. Okay, so it's a question whether or not the chalitza done by the oldest brother, the oldest surviving brother, is good, or the yibam of younger. I think this is more intuitive, but you know, I'm just giving you my opinion, which is worth whatever. But this seems to be a little bit more intuitive, and that is the B of the katan is better. Why? Because he's continuing the legacy of the brother. True, he's not the primary brother who's obligated in the mitzvah, but he's prepared to do the mitzvah of Yibum. What the Gemara says, on the other hand, the chalitza of the gadol is preferable. Why? Because if you have the gadol who wants to do something, although the something over here is not the best, but if he wants to do something, so then his something is better than the younger one's. Right, more than something. So the chalitza of a gadol is better than and the Gemara says it's stronger. The Gemara says that when the older one does chalitza, so then the B of a katan at that point in time would be nothing. Okay, the Gemara says it's much stronger. This could connect. I mean, we've touched on this topic already a number of times. This could connect to the idea, which is, what is chalitza? Is chalitza part of the mitzvah of Yibum, or is chalitza just simply a release? Right, it's an opt out from the mitzvah. So if it's a mitzvah substitute, meaning it's part of the mitzvah of Yibam, so then I can hear better the side that the older brother should do it, even though the older brother is not doing Yibam, but chalitza is part of the mitzvah. If, however, the chalitza is just a release, it's just a matir, but it's not part of the mitzvah, so then obviously the Yibam, the katan, would be better than the chalitza of the gadol. Either way, the Gemara goes on to discuss. And what do we do? We turn back to our Mishnah. Let's read our Mishnah again. Now, we're not going back to the Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to explore the Mishnah. Mishnah says if he doesn't want, meaning we turn first to the Gadol, he said no. What was included in his no? So at this point we don't know, but he said no. And then we go to the other brothers. My love, La Rasa Liabim El Alachlotz. So the Gemara is projecting. The Gemara is speculating. Maybe what his no was is that I don't want to do Yibam. I'll do Chalitza, but I don't want to do Yibam. And what does the Mishnah say? Even though he rejected Yibam, but he's ready to do Chalitza, we turn our attention to the other brothers. Oh, okay, good. So Shmami na bias katan adifa. So the Gemara says, so what does that show us? The show says that Yibam of a younger one is superior than the Chalitza of the older one. So the Gemara says, love. The Gemara says, no. Because again, all this argument is built on speculation, and you may not be right. Lo ratza lachlotz v'lo liyabim. When the oldest brother said no, you know what his no was? No means I don't want any part of this. I don't want to do yibam. I don't want to do chalitza. De gavase gabay achin. Lo ratza lo lachlotz v'lo liyabim. And the Gemara says, and you know, that's the better pshat. Because think about it. Because we kept getting rejection in the Mishnah. We first went to the oldest brother, he said no. We turn then to the younger brothers, and they all said no. And we go back to the oldest brother. Well, why are we going back? Oh, you know why? Because when the younger brother said no, you know what their no meant? Their no meant, we don't want any part of it. Because if anyone, the younger brother, said chalitza, wouldn't we at that point and say, okay, good. We have a chalitza candidate. So amai chosen etzah gadol. So why do we go back to the gadol? So the Gemara says, lemichvei. So the Gemara says, well, no, I'll tell you why. We go back to the oldest brother because what we're going to do is we're going to force him. Meaning, at this point in time, there's a zika. Either someone's going to do a mitzvah of yibum, or someone is going to do the mitzvah of chalitza. They may not want to do chalitza, but it doesn't matter. And who is going to be the one who's going to be forced to do chalitza? The oldest. Maybe that's the point of the Mishnah. Lichve leididhu. Gemara just wonders, why him? Why not force the others? So Gemara's answer, came into mitzvah leididhe ramya, leididhe kafinan. Gemara's answer very simple. Because he's the one who's primarily responsible. So the one who's primarily responsible. So again, we go through the procedure of, we first ask him, he'll say no, okay. Your no, we'll accept, but only temporarily. Just be warned. We're going to go through all the other brothers. They're all going to, if they're all going to say no, and mind you, by the way, their no doesn't have to be like your no. Their no could be just simply no to Yibum. If they're ready to do chalitza, we're still going to go back to you, and we're going to force you to do chalitza. Why? Why not force them to do chalitza? Answer, because you're the one primarily responsible. Tanan. Four lines from the bottom on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that if the argument is, again, we're just reviewing the Mishnah. If the argument is, let's wait for the younger brother. Let him grow up. And then maybe he'll want to do Yibam then. So what do you see from the Mishnah? Ein Shamam Lo. The Mishnah says, no, right now. Right here, right now. We're not going to wait. So the Gemara says again, why wouldn't we wait? Meaning right now he's a minor in the literal sense. But soon to be, he's going to grow up. Okay, I don't know how soon, and obviously however old he is and however long we're going to wait, but he's going to grow up. And there's a good chance he's going to want to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So why wouldn't that be a better option? So the Gemara is right now thinking out loud, it must be that the Bias Katan is not superior than the Chalitza of the Gadol. So the Gemara says, but again, that's not a great argument. So the Gemara says, but in another case in the Mishnah, we weren't even waiting for someone to grow up. We were just waiting for someone to come back from a overseas trip. Why aren't we waiting? And over there, let's even assume that the one coming back is an older brother. Gemara says, the reason why we don't wait is because we don't wait. Ella, the Gemara says, kol shiui mitzvah lo mishayinan, because we don't delay mitzvahs. Right? We could write zrizim maktim le mitzvahs, mitzvah bali yada, tach mitzena. Gemara has a number of different ways to make this point. And I guess if you want, you could speculate in terms of what the differences are between these. But the basic idea is no. Mitzvah opportunity now. You do the mitzvah right now.
Not in this condition. Like if there's one brother and he needs to Yibum or Chalitza, how much time does he have to wait? I mean, how much time can he wait? Is it like the Rabbanan giving
him that? To that, I don't know. I don't know. I am, to my recollection, the Gemara does not.
Yeah, it's 90 days.
Right. The Gemara does not give any type of time frame of what it means now versus later. You know, right, as we pointed out, there's got to be a 3-month hiatus between the death and the mitzvah, when the mitzvah begins, but at that point in time, I'm not sure. I don't have...
You know,
they want it to be done immediately. Yeah, right. But we know immediately means you have to wait the 3-month hiatus. Right. Yeah, I would assume you're right. East Amri, now we're on the top now of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, East Amri. So here what we're going to do, East Amri, we're going to go over the same discussion that we just went over, but in a slightly different format. Let's just quickly summarize. The question on the table in the Gemara is as follows. There are two brothers, one's older, one's younger. Even though the Gemara used the term katan, it doesn't mean katan in the literal sense. It means just simply one is older, one's younger. The older one's prepared to do chalitza, the younger one's prepared to do yibum. Question's very simple. Which is superior? Is the chalitza of the older superior to the bia of the younger, or reverse? Gemara brings down a machlokas. Gemara thought our Mishnah speaks to this the Gemara argued that the Mishnah could go according to either opinion. Right now, no conclusion. But before I tell you where we stand on this, the Gemara gives us another version of the same discussion, but it's slightly modified. In our second version, we start with the assumption. The bia done by the younger brother is superior than the chalitza that's done by the older brother. That's a no-brainer. Again, as I mentioned on the beginning of the whole discussion, it is much more intuitive. Because if one of the brothers, albeit he's younger, wants to do the mitzvah, you're going to be now perpetuating the legacy. So it sounds reasonable, and according to this version, it is more reasonable. Ki pligi b'chalitza katan. The Gemara says the only debate is in terms of chalitza. Hachi idmar. Chalitza katan v'chalitza gadol. What if now nobody wants to do yibum, and both of the brothers, the older and the younger, are both at least entertaining the idea of doing chalitza? Now is there a preference? In the world of yibum, we know the answer is absolutely. There's a preference for the older to do the yibum prior to the younger. But now the question on the table is, neither wants to do yibum, both want to do chalitza. Is there now a preference of the older or the younger? And again, we could say the same thing we said earlier. And that is, how do you understand this machlokas? Again, if chalitza is part of the mitzvah of yibum, so then the answer would be yes. Then the preference would be for the older, because the older is doing a quasi yibum. Again, it's chalitza, but it's part of the mitzvah. If chalitza is just a release, it's just a matir, so then what difference would it make who does it? Again, that's our framework of the machlokas. The Gemara is not going to say it exactly like that. So the Gemara says again, machlokas between these Amoraim, whether or not the chalitza of the old is better or they are the same. The mitzvahs were the oldest. So here, even though the oldest is only doing chalitza, but that's part of the mitzvah. On the other hand, what you would say is that no, that's yes, it's a preference for the older, but that's only in respect to the mitzvah of yibum, not in respect to chalitza. Once we're only doing chalitza, so then all brothers are equal. Tanan, and we're going to do this again. We're going to go back to our Mishnah, we're going to read the Mishnah, and we're going to see if our Mishnah speaks to this idea of what would be better. Again, the Mishnah says, he said no. They say no. We go back to the oldest brother. My lav lo ratzul yabim el alachlot. And again, we don't know, but we're speculating. What does the no mean? What did they say no to? So the Gemara argues that what they said no to was yibum, but they were ready to do chalitza. Uketani chosen etzel gadol. Ushma mina chalitza gadol adifa. And meanwhile, what did the Mishnah say? Even though the younger brothers are ready to do chalitza, we go back to the oldest brother to do chalitza. What does that show us? That chalitza for the older is better than chalitza for the younger. Lo. And the Gemara says, you can make another argument. Lo ratzel alachlos v'lo liyamim. No. You know what the no of the younger brothers was? The no of the younger brothers was no meaning nothing. We're not interested in anything. And the Gemara says, and look, makes sense. Because what was the oldest brother saying no to? Presumably, he was saying no to everything also. And why do we go back to the oldest? Because we're going to force them to do chalitza. And lichve ledidu, why not force the other brothers? Came the mitzvah la didei rami ledidei kafinan. Answers the Gemara, because he has the primary responsibility, the oldest brother, therefore we force him. Tashma. Again, we're going to do the, we're going to go through the same arguments again. Again, the oldest brother says, I'm sorry, let's wait for the oldest brother to come back from an overseas trip. And again, why not? Why not wait for him to come back? Isn't his action going to be preferable? The Gemara says, yeah, but remember, the Mishnah also discussed waiting for the young kid to grow up. Why? So the Gemara says, what's the point over there? Or, I should say, better said, why not wait till he grows up? So the Gemara's answer is because we do not delay mitzvahs. It has nothing to do with what's preferable, the oldest, the youngest to grow up. That's not the issue. The issue is that once we're delaying, that we do not do. So, Tanan Hasam, we turn to our Mishnah. Mitzvah Yaba, Mitzvah Zibam Kodemos, and Mitzvah Chalitza. I'm sorry, period, stop. Okay, that's it. That's the end of that discussion. Okay, so we have two questions on the table. It's two versions of the Gemara. Version number one is, here's my choice. The oldest brother, the oldest surviving brother is prepared to do Chalitza. A younger brother is prepared to do Yibam. In the first permutation of the Machlokas, the question is, which one's better? Okay? On that, the Gemara doesn't resolve. But on that, we would say, and again, when I say we would say, stay tuned because we're going to discuss more about Halacha L'maisa in the balance of today's daf. But on that, we would say that the Bia of the Katan is better than the Chalitza V'Gadol. In version 2 of the Machlokas, and the question is, Chalitza V'Gadol versus Chalitza V'Katan. Is there a preference for the Chalitza of the Gadol over that of a Katan? So that is a Machlokas. In the second version, it's clear that the Bia of a Katan is better than the Chalitza of a Gadol. It's just a question of whether the Chalitza of a Gadol is preferable to the Chalitza of a Katan. Excuse me. On that, the halacha is that the Chalitza of a Gadol is preferable to the Chalitza of a Katan. And now, after 39 blot of the Gemara, you're going to finally get to a little bit of halacha l'maisa as it pertains to the basic question. What's the basic question that we're going to be dealing with right now? If you're given the choice of Yibam or Chalitza, what should you do? I know that's a funny question. Because, I mean, now for over a month, I think it's been pretty clear in the Gemara that you should do the mitzvah of Yibam. Chalitza is secondary. Chalitza is just simply, you didn't want to continue the legacy. So given the choice, you would say, obviously the mitzvah will be Yibam. Stay tuned as we're about to discuss. Tanan Hazam, we're in the middle of Lamed Tesem and Aleph. Sorry. We're in the middle of Lamed Tesem and Beis, we learned in the Mishnah. Mitzvah Yibam Kodemos L'Mitzvah Chalitza. Yibam comes before Chalitza. Good. B'rishon Eshayim Eskav L'Shem Mitzvah. However, that's only if your intentions are correct. Intentions are correct, meaning that you have a chance to marry your sister-in-law. You're marrying your sister-in-law, why? Not because of attraction, not because of any financial benefit, but simply because it's a mitzvah. The Torah says to do so. Achshav, shein miskavna l'shem mitzvah, but now people don't have the right kavana, amru mitzvah, chalitza, kudemos, the mitzvah, yibam. So therefore, the mitzvah of chalitza is preferable to the mitzvah of yibam. Period. Okay, so we have a Mishnah that describes that really obvious, may Iker did according to strict letter of the law, Yibam obviously is a better option than that of Chalitza. The problem is that without the right Kavanas, so then Chalitza should be opted before Yibam. Okay. Amar Rav in Kofin. And then Rav makes a statement which in of itself is very vague, and that is in Kofin. We don't force. What don't we force? take a look at Rashi. This is a lengthier discussion the way I'm going to present it, but I'm just going to give one version in the interest of time and in the interest of simplicity. Rashi says, "Inichal tarvayu liyavumi en kofin oso lachlots." Let's say for him right now, he could have gone either way. Meaning, right now, a person comes along and says, "Okay, you have a chance now, you have an opportunity to do the mitzvah of yibum, or if you want, you could do chalitza." And his response is a very tepid, "I don't care. I'm fine with either." Now, it's a little bit strange. It's the kind of thing in life where you should generally speaking, people would have an opinion in terms of what they would want to do, but he could have gone either way. The way Rashi understands the Gemara right now, "Ein kofin oso lachlots." What we're not going to do is we're not going to force him to do chalitza. To name a lav la mitzvah mechavne upagir beisei shesach. And we're not going to say, you know, he can go either way. He can do yibam, he can do chalitza. He really doesn't care. Let's encourage him to do chalitza. Rashi says that's what Rav is saying. We're not going to push him to chalitza. Eli yibay miyabim. The But rather, what's going to happen is that if he wants to do Yibum, fine, so let him do Yibum. That's how Rashi understands the ruling of Rav. You'll see Tosos. I'm not going to go through it right now. Please forgive me. But Tosos goes in the exact opposite direction of Rashi. See Tosos for more discussion on this very point. Okay. Back to the Gemara. In kofen ki asa l'kame de Rav amrlehu ibayis chalutz ibayis yavim. B'ditcha tal rachmana. So the Gemara says, if somebody comes in front of Rav, he would say, you can either do chalitza or you can do yibam, because b'diyadcha tal rachmana. It's up to you. Im lo yach b'seish, im chafetz, ibay chalitz, ibay yavim. Meaning you have the choice. V'af Rav Yehuda Savrein Kofin. And Rav Yehuda also agrees. Meaning that if a person comes along and asks the question, well, what do you want to do? And the guy says, I could go either way. Okay. Well, in other words, we'll give him the option. Rav and Rav Yehuda both are of the opinion that we don't force a particular direction. Again, according to Rashi, the direction we don't force, we don't push him to, is we don't push him to the side of Chalitza. Okay. Me'iti itkin Rav Yehuda begita de Chalitza. Okay, and now we get to see Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the actual text of the Chalitza. Now, mind you, Chalitza is a process. Meaning, we haven't discussed Chalitza yet in terms of how it's actually done. We know what Chalitza accomplishes. Since day one, we've said if he doesn't want to opt into Yibam, so he'll do Chalitza, right? And Chalitza is just simply been a description of a particular process, the process in which we'll describe in much greater detail later in the Masechta. Three parts to Chalitza, removal of the shoe, the spinning, the Kriya. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But in addition to Chalitza, as a process, also there was a document that was written. The document that's written really is for just simple verification. That Chalitza was done. And what the Gemara is now going to provide for us is the actual text of the document of Chalitza. And so we read, the ksuva document is read at every chasna. So you hear the ksuva document, and you go to a number of chasnas, you get familiar with the document. This one, in my lifetime, I've never heard it read. But here's how it goes: Ech plonis bas ploni, how so and so, the daughter of so and so. It's obviously talking about the yavama. Akari says ploni approached a certain man. Yevama kadmana lebedina, her brother-in-law, right? Yevama means her brother-in-law in front of the Beis Din. The ishtamudinu dachua demisna me'abanihu, and we were notified. This is Beis Din. This is Beis Din being the narrator, and we were notified that he is the brother through the father. He's the paternal brother of the dead. Ve'amrile itzavisli yabam yavim. And we say to him as follows, you have an option. We said to him as follows. Sorry, this is the narration. And we said to him as follows, you want to do Yibam? Fine. Ve'ilau, ila raglech dimina. But if you don't want to do Yibam, so you lift up your right leg. Ve'idla la ragla dimina. And he lifted up his right leg. Ve'sharet sinai ma'al ragloha. And she removes the shoe from his foot. Ve'irakta ba'an pohi. And then she spits in front of him. Okay, one of the biggest misnomers, I don't know where it came from, that she spits into the shoe. There's no such thing. It's a, whatever, it's a misconception. Many people have it. Later the Gemara is going to discuss in detail. V'yirakta ban poi, which is another way of saying I don't remember. V'yirakta ban poi roka dimischaza lebedina. And she has to spit, and I know it's going to be funny, right, a little strange, but the spit has to be visible. In other words, she, it just can't be like a patui. There actually has to be saliva. We'll talk about that later on. Al-ara, and it has to be on the floor in front of the Yabba. Good. This is all part of what's written in the actual document. Rabbi Chia bar Avi Mesayim ba Mishmeta Rav Yehuda ve'akri'inu ma'dichziv b'sefer ha'raita de Moshe. And then Rabbi Chia, when he would wrap up this document, he would sign off by saying, and we read the Parsha as it's written in the Torah. When you go through the whole Parsha of Chalitza. Good. And again, the whole point over here, why do we just go through the document? Meaning it's great, it's good information. But why do we do that? Again, the idea over here is that this document was how Rabbi Yehuda would write the document, and it's clear from the document that we gave him the choice. Wanted to do Yibam, that's great. Wanted to do Chalitza, okay, he opted to Chalitza. So again, it speaks to the idea that we could have gone either way. He could have gone to the direction of Yibam. We gave him the avenue. He chose not to. So now we're going to do Chalitza. Okay. One last point over here, and it's a very, it's a critical point. Ashtemudinu, in the document, what did Beis Din say? We were informed that that man over there is the paternal brother of the deceased, and therefore he has a mitzvah of Yibum. Beis Din was informed. How does that information, what kind of information are we talking about? This is interesting. So the first opinion is that you need witnesses. Now, meaning, witnesses over here that are going to excuse me that are going to declare that he's the brother. Now, how do these witnesses know? I'm not clear. In other words, they knew him from childhood. They were there. They knew him from birth. They knew the mother and father were met. I'm not really sure, I'm going to be honest, how these witnesses have knowledge, positive knowledge, that the two are paternal brothers.
Could it be that they're trying to just establish a chazaka?
They can
really never verify for sure.
Agreed. I'm making the admission. I don't know how that's coming about, but I do understand the basic idea. In that, what you're about to do is you're about to do the mitzvah of Yibum, and you just want to make sure that the two participants involved are actually the correct people, meaning a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. And not only just brother-in-law, but a paternal brother. So, I'm not really sure. Again, I know I'm repeating myself. I'm not really sure how they're verifying. But Shnei Eidim. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two is, no, this is not testimony. This is just simply revelatory. All we're doing is just simply saying, oh yeah, I know, everyone knows they're brothers. You don't need witnesses. You don't need two witnesses. The Gemara says you can have a relative coming and revealing. You can have a woman coming forward who is, generally speaking, cannot testify in a court of law. And the Hilchasan, the Gemara over here, concludes, Gilui Milsa Ba'amahu Ve'afilu Kavra Afilu Isha. And the Gemara says, this is not something you need edus for. This is just gilui milsa. All it is just revelatory. You don't need two witnesses, a karov, an isha, anyone stepping forward and saying, yeah, of course we know they're brothers. Everybody knows that. That's what's called gilui milsa. Okay, and then obviously the tricky question is, when can I just say something is a gilui milsa, which I don't need two witnesses for? Or no, when do I need actually two witnesses? And to establish family members, that's you don't need him. Right. All this becomes very practical when you're doing your genealogy. Right? And how often? I don't know if everyone here I've been starting with the genealogy. Right? And how do I know all my information? So I have an aunt, I have an uncle, I heard from her, I heard from him. And, you know, and I don't have Adam, right? All this information does not come to me through witnesses. So can I establish any type of genealogy with just, you know, aunts and uncles telling me information? Sounds like from the Gemara, yeah, absolutely. Go back to our Gemara. Be sure to show you mitkafim l'shem mitzvah. Yibum kodem is a mitzvah. Kodem is a mitzvah, chalitza. V'achshav she'im mitkafim l'shem mitzvah. Amu mitzvah chalitza kodem is a yibum. Okay. Sorry. All right. So we quote a Mishnah, the Mishnah that we read about 20 lines ago in the Gemara, and the Mishnah says that first Yibum, then Chalitza, but then because people did not have the right Kavana, so then we turn to Chalitza as being a first option. Amar Rami Barchama, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Chazru Lomar, Mitzvah Yibum Kodem as a Mitzvah Chalitza. So Rami Barchama says, and then we go back. And now we're back at the point where we're going to encourage Yibum over that of Chalitza. Okay. So follow the bouncing ball. First we said Yibum is better than Chalitza, Minatara. Then we said people don't have the right Kavana. So then we were promoting Chalitza over Yibum. And then we said, nah, you know what, Yibum is better than Chalitza.
Is it the fact that they use the term Kodemet as opposed to Adif?
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. Amle Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Ach Shedarei. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I cannot understand. Do you think we're getting better as the generations go on? Meaning the Gemara has a general assumption. You hear this in the Gemara a number of times, a number of different ways, of Niskanu Hadoros. That as every generation progresses, so we're smaller and we're smaller. Meaning don't quote me out of context, but it's like the anti-evolution theory of our spiritual makeup. In other words, we are further away every year, every generation, that we're further away from Sinai. So it's not, we're not improving spiritually, we're the opposite. And so what bothers Rav Nachman Yitzchak is, how could it possibly be that in the earlier generations you'll do Yibam over Chalitza because they have the right Kavana? And then we saw people weren't having the right Kavana, so therefore we're promoting Chalitza over that of Yibam. And then what? And then later generations have better Kavana? It doesn't work with the general principle of Niskatnu Adaros. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. So the Gemara says, no, this is not a cultural description of how we as the Jewish people are firmer, because we're not. This has to do with the fact that there's a basic machlokas between Tanayim, which we're about to be introduced to, and it happens to be that the shift is not in us, the shift is in who we paskin like. We originally paskin like the Chachamim, then we turned to Abba Shaul, and then we went back to the Chachamim. So that was the shift. I mean,
they get the majority.
Yeah, right, correct.
And I could you switch?
I mean, Basin, a later Basin has the right to change the Psak. We don't find it that often, but we do find it. And here's an example. I don't have that many more examples to give you, but here's an example. The Tanya. Abba Shalom Yisivim Tol Shem Lo L'Shem Mishos L'Shem Davar Acher. So Abba Shalom says that if a man marries his Yivama, doing the mitzvah of Yibam, but for all the wrong reasons, she's beautiful, he just wants to be married, okay, we can add more, but Ki'ilu Pogea Be'erva, he says it unbelievably strong. He says, you're violating the arayas. I mean, what's the erva? She's a shesach. And because you don't have the right kavana, it's almost as if there's no mitzvah of yibum. Right? I know that's unbelievably strong. And then what's the consequence of that? The karuv ani be'inai lios havlad mamzer. And that means then that if you're marrying an erva, what happens when you marry an erva? Children are mamzerim. Now, Abishal, look, it's like, It's so hard to gauge, like, what he's saying. It's pretty close to your children being mamzerim. Now, I know I also like to live in a black and white world where are they or are they not mamzerim? Abba Shaul says they're close. Mamzerim, usually you don't have close. You either have yes or no. Oh, we do have suffake. Meaning, but what Abba Shaul's position is that with the wrong kavana, it's the mitzvah of Yibum has been significantly compromised, all the way to the point in which it's no longer the mitzvah of Yibum, and I'm tempted to say that the children are going to come out of Mamzerim. The Chachamim Omrim, Yivam Yivam Olam Mikom Akom. And the Chachamim say that the man's Kavana does not affect the mitzvah at all. Meaning, obviously, the best thing is to have the right Kavana, obviously. But the Kavana will not affect the mitzvah at all. So here we have now a basic machlok between the Chachamim and Abba Shaul, in terms of whether or not Kavana will impact the mitzvah. Abba Shaul says it will, and the Chachamim say it won't. And now we understand. First we said we're going to go do the mitzvah of Yibam, and then we're going to do... First we're going to promote Yibam, because we paskin like the Chachamim. Then what happened was is that, no, they promoted Chalitza, because they paskin like Abba Shaul. And then they promoted Yibam again, because we went back to paskin like the Chachamim.
But the discussion about Ainsar Kavana...
Correct. Abishal's position over here is difficult to understand. meaning whether you do, you do not need kavana. But over here, he's saying that kavana removes the mitzvah altogether. It's mechudash. It's definitely it's a novel idea in this context. Just a brief word. Ashkenazim, right? For us Ashkenazim, so the Ramah says is that our practice is to follow the thinking of Abishal. So whenever the mitzvah of Yibum comes about, it's a rare instance, but it obviously can happen, right? And a man dies and he's childless, and you know, a couple generations ago in the Holocaust, it happened all too often. So the Ashkenazim, following the practice of the Ramah, says that we don't do the mitzvah of Yibum. And so given the opportunity, so we will do chalitza because we follow Abishal. Shulchan Aruch, Sfardim, so they'll do the mitzvah of Yibum. Right? Had he reported that...
Obadiah Yosef,
huh?
In the
19th. Yeah, yeah, right. Rav Avadja was very big on reinstating Yibum, but you have a family member who did the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay? So and really, as you'll see in the Gemara, is usually the case, right? Sfardim are a little more truer to the Gemara and to the Shulchan Aruch, but okay, the Ashkenazim made more, more gzeros, if you will, whatever, however you want to explain it. But anyway, but that's the difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim are basically the difference between Abishal versus the Chachamim. Okay, Ditanya. Well, let's go on one. We follow Abishal, which means that we're going to promote the mitzvah of Chalitza. And we do. I mean, the Ashkenazim do. Presumably, it's because we're more in thinking with Abishal. Did Tanya the Gemara quotes the Brisa? Abishal Amar Kodes is even for Shem Lo Shem Yishol to Shem Davar Acher. Kilu Pogo Be Erva Ve Korei Ani Bein Ali Yosef Al Mamzer. Did I read this already? I'm sorry, I did. Chachamim Yavam Yavol La Mikom Mekom. Man Tanu Had the Tanu Rabbanu. Okay, and now, really, for the rest of today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be focusing on a Brisa. Okay, this Brisa right now is going to be anonymous. We do not know who the author of the Brisa is, and the Gemara is going to inject one of two possibilities. Either the Brisa is going like the Chachamim, or the Brisa is going like Abishal. First things first, let's see the Brisa. Let's introduce ourselves to the Brisa. Yevama Yevo Aleha Mitzvah. Okay, so quote the Pasuk. Yevama Yevo Aleha, which means that there's a Mitzvah. And then the Gemara says, and look at the history. Shebitchila Haisa Allah Bechlal Heter. Look, originally that woman to you was Heter. What? When? What? Who? Meaning, before she married your brother, she was Mutter. Nesra, then she became forbidden. V'chazra v'hutra, and then she became permitted. So this woman goes from Heter to Isser to Heter. And so now, Yachol, here's the Havamina. Tachzor leheterah harishon. Let her go back to the original Heter. Meaning, if you go from Heter to Isser, back to Heter, so maybe she could be reinstated back to her original status. Tamalomar, Yevama Yevoleha, mitzvah. And so the Torah says, Yevama Yevoleha, which means that it is a mitzvah. Period. Adkan divrei habraisa. It is not clear what that punctuation of the braisa was. What exactly was the point? So here we go now. Two possibilities. Man Tana. Who is the author of that braisa? We're in the first wide line of the bottom of the Amud Alam Tesamud Beis. Mantan. Amar Yitzhak Baravdimi Abishal Hi. It's the opinion of Abishal. The Hachi Kamar. And this is how the braisa is to be read. Yevam Yevola Mitzvah. Shebetchila. Haisa Allah Bechal Heter. Ratzal Hashem Noi Konsa. Ratzal Hashem Yishuz Konsa. Look, the author of this braisa is Abishal. And look, here's how to read the braisa. Before your brother married her, you could have taken her for a wife. And Kavana is totally irrelevant. You wanted to marry her because she was attractive? Great. You wanted to marry her because you wanted a wife? Fine. Meaning, obviously, marriage is a mitzvah, right? Marriage is a mitzvah, or it's a heksher mitzvah. Okay, good. That's machlokes harishonim. But fine. But marriage is not, your Kavana does not matter in terms of the original marriage. Nesra, but then she married your brother, which now means, of course, to you she's prohibited. Chazra v'hutra. And now when your brother's dead, so now she's mutter to you. Oh, listen carefully. Good. Yachol tachzor le'etera rishona. So I now my thought, look, originally, before my brother married her, I could have married her, and with whatever kavana I wanted to marry her. And now, maybe it's the same. And that's what the Bryce is coming to teach me. That according to Abishal, no, now you're extremely limited. You can't marry her because she's attractive. You can't marry her because you want a wife. The only reason why you can marry her is because it's a mitzvah. Okay, that's pshat number one in the Braisa. Rava Amar Afilotim Rabbanan. And Rava says, no, the pshat in the Braisa is that's going like the Chacham. V'hachi kamar. Yavam yavola mitzvah shebetchil ha'isa b'chal heter. Ratzah konsa, ratzah inu konsa. So, we're going to say like this. Before your brother married her, to you, she was heter gamar. She was totally permissible. With every option available. You want to marry her, fine. You don't want to marry her, that's fine. Whatever. In other words, you had every option available. And then your brother married her. Now Nesra, she's prohibited to you. Chazra v'hutra, and then your brother dies. And now she's mutter. Yachol tachzor leter arishon. I might have thought, let's go back to the way it was originally. Which is, excuse me, which is, whatever you want. So ratza kotza, ratza in kotza. You want to marry her, fine. You don't want to marry her, that's fine. To which the Gemara just can't even believe that that's acceptable. Ratzeinu kotza, what, you could just walk away? Ha agidu bei, she's tied to you. We've been calling that now for the last month, Azika. So, abichtei tepuk, you could just let her go? That's even as a suggestion, that's ridiculous. Ela ema ratze kotza, ratze chalotz. No, maybe what it means is you have every option available to you. It's not the same option. Meaning Yibam and Chalitza are not equal with one another. Yibam is better than Chalitza. You should opt to Chalitza before opting to... Sorry. You should opt to Yibam before opting to Chalitza. Okay. Good. So what do we have? We had a braisa that described heter is or heter. We have now two different ways to understand the braisa. Either the author of the braisa is Abishal, which means that during the period of heter you could have married her with whatever kavani you wanted. Then she becomes Asr, then she becomes Heter, but in this new state of Heter, you're limited. You can't marry her because she's attractive, you can't marry her because you want a wife, you can only marry her because of the mitzvah. Good. And then the second pshat on the Bryce is no. Heter is her Heter means that originally, you can marry her, you cannot marry her. Secondarily, your brother marries her, she's Asr. Then when your brother dies, so I might have thought, either option. Not marry, but marry or chalitza, and the chiddush of the Torah is no. Mitzvah. Meaning you should first think yibum, and only secondarily you should think chalitza. Okay. Ema resha. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what's the better pshat in the braisa. At this juncture, I think we can say both are excellent pshatim. However, the Gemara says, if you look at the braisa in its totality, you will see, the second pshat is better. Why? Because now we're going to take a look at the first half of the braisa, which the Gemara didn't tell us about earlier. Let's see it inside. Mitzvah tocha, matzvah tocha b'makum karosh, mitzvah. Kohanim have a mitzvah to eat menachos. A mincha that's offered in the base of Mikdash can only be eaten by the Kohanim. By the way, Michas Kohen cannot be eaten by anybody, but... Okay. Shebetchila ha'isa ala b'chal heter. Originally, the flour was mutter. Nesra. Then someone was makdashit. V'chazra v'hutra. And then it becomes mutter. Yachotachzor leheter rishon. I might have thought that it resumes its original heter. Tamalom ha'matzos tochel b'makum kadosh. Mitzvah. Then the braisa says, no, you have to eat it. It's a mitzvah. Okay, now... Put that right alongside the same point the Braisa was making regarding Yibum. Meaning in both contexts we have, what do we have? Heter, Isser, Heter. I might have thought that the second Heter reverts back to the first Heter, and Tamalomar, Mitzvah. Now, we had two Pshatim in the Braisa, either it was following Gabashal or it was following like the Chachamim. As we're going to see, we'll have to continue tomorrow, as we're going to see, it makes better sense that this point of the Mincha and the point of mitzvah by mincha is a better match to our Chachamim's version of the Braisa rather than to the Abishal version of the Braisa. Okay, so we'll pause over here, and tomorrow we start on the top of Mem. Again, tomorrow we'll meet an hour before Mincha, and then we will meet during our regular Shacharit period in order to make up a considerable amount of lost ground.